Joining me in a studio is Ian Basarabi. He is the head of strategic projects on the Edge Blocks for Business. Ian, a very good morning and welcome to studio.
Morning, Howard. Thank you for having me.
All right. So a lot has been said about this, and it's quite nerve-wracking because we're reading articles that are saying that many of the jobs that our children, or many of the skills that our children are learning at school and at university, by the time they go into the job market, those jobs aren't even going to be relevant. We're seeing people changing that they might not have one source of income, but they'll have multiple sources of income. Give us a sense of where you are seeing this transition, where it's come from, where it is, and where it's going.
So Howard, I think you're 100% correct, and I think it's not only just with job seekers entering the job market. I think it applies to people that are already in the job market, and this continuous change and this move towards digitization and the role technology is playing. And I know that can be very fearful, but at the same time, it presents a lot of opportunities. It's happening at such an exponential pace that we don't have the luxury of being able to spend a lot of time planning for this. So what's happening now is we're trying to educate our children to be prepared for the jobs of the future, but we actually don't know what those are going to be. So it's really about looking at life as a marathon, if you can look at it, and a continuous journey that you need to keep educating yourself.
Keep retraining.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because at the same time, you know, I was having a discussion with somebody that I do some mentoring for, and they're in the electrical, in the electrical side of the industry, and they've suddenly found that they can actually outsource some of their design to somebody sitting in India. So the fact is that if somebody in India is able to access a market here in South Africa, well, we should be, if we've got the right skills, we should be able to market ourselves to other parts of the world as well.
And I think that's the positive side of it, Howard, is that we shouldn't look at this as a threat. We should look at this as an opportunity. And I think for people that have previously felt that they couldn't access the market, or they felt that they didn't have the ability to really promote themselves, this is a great opportunity, because the playing fields are being leveled in some way. Is that because, as you say, technology is in the hands of everyone now. It's how you utilize that technology. And for me, if I look back, it's when somebody was being recruited back in the financial services industry, they used to say, are you computer literate? And what did computer literate mean? Computer literate meant, can you switch on a computer? You know, that was like kind of the
sum total. Can you use Word?
Absolutely. office proficient. Nowadays, the person that's actually being employed is expected to have a certain technology capability that goes beyond just opening Word.
Yeah, so how does one do that? You know, because we see it in education as well. We see it that we're sending our kids to schools, and schools are really struggling with it.
Yeah.
To say, well, you know what, I've been teaching, I don't know, grade three for 20 years now, but actually these kids are very, very different, and the needs are different, and their futures are different, and what's available to me is different. How does, you know, and it's very, very easy to get trapped into a situation where you just don't change or don't want to change.
So I think that's the fundamental problem, is we're not teaching our children to be problem thinkers or problem solvers, to think about problems and solve them. And what I mean by that is that we push concepts and subjects through an archaic process that many of us have been through. If you sit in a classroom today, with exception, there are a few places that are schools.
Sure, I mean, obviously, we're talking in generalities.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that there aren't certain environments that are way ahead and incredibly innovative.
And I think that's the way of the future. Is you need to embrace this need to think beyond just a subject, or think beyond just a structure. It's got to be flexible. You have to recognize that you have a choice in how you approach things, rather than a finite way of looking at things.
Unsign says, was interesting to see coding being offered from grade R. Is it being offered at schools? Do you know of schools that are offering coding?
So I don't know schools that are offering them per se. It would be great if they are, but there's definitely like what they call boot camps. And you know, typically you'd have a summer camp where you'd have a holiday camp where kids would go out. Now they're actually offering coding camps where you can actually
My kids would have to go to an Xbox camp. Have you heard of any of those?
Well, if there's a PlayStation 1, my kids are there
as well.
A
Fortnite camp.
No,
and that is going on a Game of Thrones camp.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. But how would you talk about you touched on Fortnite, and Fortnite is a phenomenal example of how you can get people excited about something. And I look at, Fortnite have actually got their own World Cup coming up. I figured this out the other day because my son now wants me to register him. And it's a virtual tournament where kids from around the world are going to be able to play against each other and potentially progress to the next round and ultimately play in the finals, you know, against the top players. And if you think about it, a kid from Johannesburg sitting in Glen Hazel could potentially be playing with the top Fortnite player. Now, I know we're using Fortnite as an example, but that's a way of demonstrating that if technology is used in the right context and used to fulfill individuals who have not necessarily had the courage or had the confidence to go out and be themselves, these are platforms that allows them to do so. So you've got to look at it in the context of how do you support your kids not to abuse it, but to see it as a tool and enabler.
At the same time, and it's an interesting question, Unsigned says to, is asking a question, are they still teaching cursive writing at school?
I hope not.
Because that's the point, is if they are doing that, then it's coming at the expense of something else, because you don't have unlimited time in the day. If, I'm one of those that never really, in fact, Unsigned saying exactly the same thing. That's so funny. Also, pencil to pen progression. I was actually about to say that. I'm one of those kids who never got my pen license. Zanati, did you have that at your school?
We did.
And I suppose you got your pen in grade R or something. Wow.
I never.
It was only because I went to the next year and the teacher obviously assumed that everybody,
really?
You know, by grade 11, by grade 11 was writing in pen. So that's how I went over to pen, but I never was given my pen license. Like, it's absurd. It's bizarre. And without being arrogant, I was a pretty bright kid, but I couldn't write.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of those of my own kids, and we see it, and they are so blessed to have been already growing up in an environment where there is less focus on that. So they could have scribes and they can get the assistant and it doesn't curtail them. When I was growing up, that was a real, considered a learning disability. And of course that affects you in all sorts of other ways. It's an absurdity. So, school has to change. Unsigned saying that kids King David Linksfield is coding as a paid for extramural. On other notes, do you think that its hectic pace is causing all this anxiety in children? I have absolutely no doubt that there we go. Howard, without a pen license, you became a radio presenter. Yeah, I know.
but Howard, I think
how do you sign a contract, Lee wants to know.
With a digital signature.
Okay. Exactly, yeah. Lee.
And there's always a solution to these problems. But I think, Howard, that point about anxiety is a controversial one. And why it's controversial is because studies have shown that learning takes place when people stretch outside their comfort zone. If you look at somebody when you're focused and you're under pressure and you're learning something new, you're more diligent at doing that. But that shouldn't come at the expense of putting somebody under pressure. And I think if you...
Well, it should be the opposite. It should be liberating.
Absolutely. So you've got to love what you're doing. Mm. I think if you love what you're doing and you're outside of your comfort zone, then everything is like a perfect storm. Everything comes together.
In a good way. Yeah.
And in a good way. So I think that comes in terms of loving what you do. You know, that's something I'm still saddened today when I speak to people and people tell me they would love to do this. They would love to do this. And I say, well, why aren't you? And they say, because. And because doesn't have a...
And most of it it might be valid.
Yeah.
But because there's life pressure and anxiety about supporting a family and all of that comes with it. And science says cursive proved good for concentration. Huh. No, really? I actually found Concerta proved even better. All right, that's probably going to, that's probably all Ritalin. I don't know, but I mean, that's probably not really what you're saying. The point is though that we're speaking about kids, but now, many of our listeners are people that are in the middle, either starting out in their work phase, they're in the middle of their careers, or they've even retired. They head towards the end. Is there a way to change it? Is this a future only for our children, or is there a future for us, those of us that are already in the career cycle? Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I think evidence of that is that if you look, longevity in the workplace is becoming a reality. People don't get to 65 and retire and get a pension anymore.
It's unheard of.
It's unheard of.
It's unaffordable.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that we're living longer, and we need to.
But who wants to retire?
No one. And I think that's where the opportunities are for reinvention and growth. And it's about really paying attention to important things in your life. It's keeping relevant. It's not necessarily about just increasing your current skill set. You've got to focus on things. And I think, Howard, one of the greatest tools we have with technology is the plethora of online courses that are available. I think anybody that hasn't gone onto one of these websites, and if anybody's interested, I can direct them to some great courses. People can literally learn a skill in a couple of weeks. And that doesn't mean that you're going to become a doctor. You know what I mean? But you'll enhance your mindset. You'll stretch your muscle, your brain. And
right. So give us an example of a good website where you can find different courses.
So Coursera is one of the best. Coursera is,
how do I spell that?
Coursera.
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 Coursera. There we Coursera. Go. Up. Coursera at UNISA, or just Coursera?
Just Coursera. Yeah.
Okay. 100,000 online courses. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's Coursera.org.
Yeah, and there's plenty of, depending on what your interest is, there's so many that offer these.
And I see that they're linked to so many universities, Johns Hopkins, University of Michigan, Stanford, incredible.
And that's exactly the point, is it's not just about universities now bringing in students on campus. It's about giving access to students. EDX is another one. EDX is a subsidiary of Harvard. Right. So you can do a lot of the Harvard courses, short courses and that. There's another one called Get Smarter, which does a lot of stuff through UCT. And I think those are areas where people need to flex their mindset about that traditional, probably will upset Jewish mothers, and that kids won't necessarily become doctors, dentists, lawyers, and accountants.
But there is a difference. I mean, the kid that's going to become a doctor is going to become a doctor.
Absolutely.
Anyway. The kid that wants to do accounts can still go and do accounts, but add a little extra value in, because everybody needs an edge. And that's what I always say to people that I'm helping or advising, is find a way to distinguish yourself, to give yourself that competitive edge. You might be the best accountant in the world, but find an edge.
And Howard, that's the most important thing, and I love this part, is because it kind of breaks the whole stigma and tradition of peer group pressure and being part of the in crowd, is the importance of building a personal brand. Is if we look at just technology and automation and that, just being like everyone else is not going to differentiate you. You're going to kind of make yourself redundant and irrelevant. So the importance of actually going out there and being different and being unique and having something to offer will make you stand out. And I think a lot of additions to career planning and career development is going around actually talking about what we call life design. So life design is a new concept that's emerging from career choices where students or even people looking for a change in their life are encouraged to be curious, try stuff, you know, reframe the problem, you know, look at a problem from a different perspective. Don't always look at it as you would see it, and know it's a process. I think the The biggest problem is people think they need to be an expert immediately. It's a continuous learning, and I think that's the important takeaway.
I think that is that because look, I think a lot of it starts from confidence in yourself because if you know that who you are, that you know. I remember when we were younger, coming out of school, I have friends that didn't do the things that they really wanted to do because they didn't have the confidence to do them, and not in a way that's saying that they wanted to do medicine, but they wanted to do things like fashion design. But a man doesn't do fashion design, and it would have been looked at really, really peculiarly if that, for example, is what they did. So they didn't have the confidence at 18 to say, you know what, actually this is what I want to do. I love it. I've got a talent, and I really think that this should be my career. So what do? They go to WITS and they do the BCom because that's acceptable to the parents and to the grandparents and to the uncles and aunts and family, and everybody's cool. I think that we have as parents such an enormous responsibility to be able to say, you know what, I don't mind what you want to do if this is truly what you want to do. And as long as you're not doing it to cop out, and as long as you're not doing it for all the wrong reasons and you're doing it for the right reasons, well, then I'm going to support you in your decision. I don't think anymore that we have to box ourselves and our children into what we used to.
I agree with that, Howard. And I think having two children myself, who are very different and very inquisitive about different things, means that you've got to lend yourself to opening up and saying that if my daughter sits behind a desk and studies like that, that's cool. And if my son runs around the garden and throws a ball against the wall and that helps him process stuff, you've got to let them be. But you cannot, like you say, it's not a cop out. You can't absolve accountability. The buck stops with them. And that's why I always say that your learning journey is your own. Nobody's, you know, there's a famous quote. I actually wrote it down because I wanted to mention it. Abraham Lincoln says the best way to predict your future is to create it. And that's
I love that.
And that's really about your own destiny is in your hands. So if you want to learn about something, don't ask permission. You know, it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Absolutely. And that's where we leave it. Absolutely fascinating conversation, Ian Besarabi. Thank you for coming into studio. Such an interesting topic.
Thanks,
and certainly one that we can spend more time on. How do parents get out of the way of their kids' development? Very, very interesting question, and a very important one. In Mishle, it says, educate the child according to his way. Thanks, Mervyn. Absolutely right. And a very important conversation. Time is 8:31.